Crater Lake, Deathlands, USA.
Careful, that coon's got a laser rifle.
Where death lurks behind every corner.
Ryan, you've got to stop them! They're butchering him!
Where revenge is a way of life.
No, please! Don't do it! I beg of you, please!
Don't do it, Lori. Put the gun down.
No, Christy! Not after what that bastard made me do!
A nightmare location, where Ryan Carter and his companions find themselves held hostage by an insane group of inbred scientists.
What are they doing?
You don't want to know, Jack.
Where long-lost secrets threaten one of their own.
The totality concept. Doc, is this about you? Doc? Doc!
Oh, my God.
And the companions' lives are held in the very shaky hands of the maddest of them all. The bizarre Dr. Ethel Tardy.
It's a very simple equation, Ryan. You plus your companions plus your cooperation means your life. Your non-cooperation means your death. You do the math.
Deathlands number 4, Crater Lake. Not everyone's making it back from this jump.
Water lapped around his ankles, cold and glutinous, like the embrace of a dying sticky.
You there, lover?
Yeah, keep moving. Getting deeper.
The passage sloped down, and for a few moments the water was up to his waist, chilling his groin, making him gasp in shock. Then the passage jerked up again, so that the water only slurped at his boots. The floor was streaming, slippery, and infinitely treacherous. The current was so fast that to fall would mean death in the shrinking darkness. When the passage narrowed, he banged his head hard on the ceiling, stunning himself.
Watch your head!
The ceiling suddenly caved in, and someone fell on his shoulders.
Fuck!
Fire lanced across his ribs from a knife or spear as fingers clawed at his windpipe. The extra weight was enough to knock him off balance, and he slipped over, head plunging into the cold mud. The Heckler and Coke went into the water. Ryan couldn't breathe. Something held his head under the slime as a knife or spear sliced across his stomach and cruel fingers tried to rip out his throat. Feeling skins with his hands, he guessed it was an ambush from the stunted muties who had been trailing them since they had arrived in the complex. It crossed his mind that the muties had probably built the maze of tunnels, scaled down to their dwarfish bodies. This one had been hiding in a dugout in the ceiling when it had heard them back away from the rising flood. Ryan's only edged weapon was the panga that was sheathed at his belt, useless for such close combat. He half-rolled, kicking out to try to gain a footing. Pushing against the walls of the tunnel, he threw himself back, smashing his opponent into the jagged stone. The grip on his throat loosened for a moment, and Ryan was able to reach behind him, grabbing under the skins between the man's thighs. Feeling the softness of the dwarf's genital sac, he squeezed and grounded as hard as he could, digging his nails in. Finally, the mutie was off his back, and Ryan straightened, his head at last clear of the torrent. There was a flickering yellow light from the hole above him where the ambush had been launched, and he made out the head of another man staring down at him. A spear lunged toward him, and he dodged.
Whoa!
The first mutie approached again, face contorted with pain, mouth open, long, wolf-like tusks gleaming golden. One of the strange, sectioned spears was in his right hand, jabbing at Ryan's belly.
Ah, fucker!
The blow wasn't hard to parry with the side of an arm. Ryan blinked, mud had gotten in his eye. He watched his enemy. The water was just above the man's knees, swirling and tugging, making it difficult to maintain balance. The best thing to do, Ryan figured, was to get in close and use his superior height, strength, and weight in hand-to-hand fighting. The lance darted out again, and Ryan took a superficial cut on his left hand from the jagged, barbed ivory tip. He felt the warmth of fresh blood trickling down inside his coat from the two wounds across his ribs. Nothing seemed too seriously damaged. Beyond the mutie's shoulder, he caught a flicker of movement and the flash of brilliant crimson hair. Whatever problems Christy might be having, there was nothing he could do to help her. Not yet.
Come on, you evil little fucker.
He watched the flat blank face, seeing nothing in the mud-colored eyes. Out came the spear, but Ryan was ready, moving easily like a dancer inside the thrust, grabbing the wooden haft and pulling the mutie toward him. Ryan swung a punch at the mutant's open mouth, but the mutie was quicker, ducking and grappling with him. A foot hooked behind his ankle, and Ryan fell again, dragging at his opponent's arm. Once again, he swallowed a mouthful of the muddy stream, flailing and kicking at the mutie. The creature tried to butt him, and Ryan turned, biting the side of the attacker's neck. His teeth slid off the wet skin, and he tasted grease and sweat and wood smoke. He locked an arm around the scrawny neck, simultaneously managing to pull him closer and heave himself from the water. Despite being much smaller and lighter than Ryan, the mutie was a vicious and cunning fighter, throwing Ryan off balance for a third time, hands scrabbling toward his groin. With great effort, Ryan turned so that the clawing fingers tore at the side of his thigh rather than at his scrotum. Again, he dipped his head, seeking the mutie's throat with his teeth, finding flesh and clamping his jaws shut. An artery pulsed between his lips as he drove his teeth through skin into flesh. Blood, salty and warm, spurted into Ryan's mouth. The mutie thrashed and kicked. One hand came up toward Ryan's face, attempting to rip and pulp his one good eye.
Oh, no, you don't.
Ryan seized the wrist, squeezing it, and feeling the thin bones flex and snap like twigs. He clamped his teeth together with great force, spitting out blood from the corner of his mouth, working through the beating wall of gristle that protected the carotid artery in the throat. The mutie, even with a broken arm, wasn't down, and he nearly succeeded in kneeing Ryan in the groin, instead delivering the blow to his leg. Ryan's head bobbed as he chewed into the man's flesh. As he finally severed the artery, there was a great burst of wetness and heat that nearly choked him. He opened his mouth and pushed away from the dying mutie, seeing the lifeblood, almost black in the tunnel's dim light, spout clear to the ceiling. The dying man was carried away by the surging torrent, his broken arm waving crookedly as he whipped around a sharp corner and vanished.
Good riddance.
Ryan stooped to retrieve the fallen blaster, glancing at the trap in the ceiling, seeing someone still stooped there. Without hesitation, he pulled the trigger.